Chapter 63. Lysander. Lux ex tenebris. Dido sits slumped in a low chair by a window that looks out over the sulphur plain. The weather is clear. Her arms hang off the edge of the armrests. Her large, angry eyes look out into the waste but are trained on her past. She is an island of regret, bled of pride, of spirit, and swollen with the torpor of loss. "What is it you want, Loon?" she asks this without turning around when Seraphina and I enter the room. The young woman escorted me in silence. "I'm sorry for your loss," I say. She does not respond. I glance nervously at Seraphina, knowing my presence here is unwanted in this moment of grief. The girl looks back at me with cold, inhospitable eyes. "He was the noblest of men." "What do you know of my husband?" she asks harshly. "From what he said to me before he died, I learned enough. He was something out of time, a paragon, his life spent honouring the conquerors, but he was greater by far than they could ever have been. Now, such a waste." She shakes her head. "Uncurl your tongue, boy, and leave me to my grief." "I wish to join your war," I say flatly. She watches a lone volcano vomit ash into the chrome horizon. Seraphina scowls. "There's no place for a loon in our army." I beg to differ. "And what good would you do me, Lysander, our loon?" Dido asks. "Can you skim a dune like a dusk walker, or fly a warhawk in a storm, or operate a star shell in an iron rain as your friends die around you?" she snorts. "You have no scar. You know theory, games. You were raised in a palace, raised to be a king, and there is no more wretched a creature than a king without a kingdom." "I am not a king." "Then what are you?" "What am I?" I have been asking this of myself for a decade or more. Little has been certain since my grandmother fell. I looked out at the worlds in flux, in constant motion beneath my feet, denying me a foundation, filling me with uncertainty, fear. I did not know my own heart, but no matter the shifting of the worlds, I know the bedrock of my soul. I know the foundation upon which I stand and no longer fear my blood. Just because my grandmother was a tyrant does not mean I will be. I see the faces of those I left behind on the Vindobona. They need a protector, a shepherd. I know who I am, or at least who I want to become. And with that realization, I feel the culmination of the souls who have filled my life. I feel my father's calm, Arja's love, my grandmother's brilliance, Cassius's honor, and even the faint heartbeat of my mother. And I know that Romulus spoke wisdom I somehow already knew deep in the heart of me. "I am no heir of empire or conqueror of men," I say slowly, "but I have the same birthright as you, the same inheritance. We were created because Earth broke itself, because man disintegrated into tribal strife. Chaos is the nature of man. Order, the dream of gold. We were made to shepherd, to unite despite our differences. That is what Romulus said to me in the end, and he is right." Seraphina stares at me, a rebuke frozen on her lips. "You called my grandmother a tyrant. She was, but I am not her. I am not Arja. I am not my godfather. I am an iron gold." Slowly, Dido turns around. "As you gather your armada to sail on the rising, send me to the core with a cohort of your best. I will find my godfather. I will tell him that the rim is coming, that the sins of the past must be forgotten, and that you seek an alliance against the Reaper so that gold may be united once again. If peace must be brought with a sword, let us hold it together." The silence stretches between us. She stands imperiously over me. Then her eyes narrow, and slowly on Dido's dour, grieving face, her lips curl into a smile.